Good morning. I was looking at that step right over here on this side and was thinking how I was going to handle it. Well, I'll do all right. And then I saw a pregnant woman in high heels come up over here, and I thought, wow, if she can do it, I guess I can do it. And then they got steps over there. Okay. Well, good to be with you this morning. It's a blessing to be here and to look out and to see you. We appreciate you coming, and we thank the Lord for this building. That we have. It's used in many ways for the Lord, for the gospel and for edification, but this is one way that we've never used it. And I don't know, Dick might remember, or some of the other folks here in the assembly that have been here since the beginning, but I don't remember a time that we've ever had the Sunday morning meeting that it wasn't either in the tabernacle on Forest Avenue or in the chapel building here. Is that right? We ever met, I mean, if this is the first time in over 70 years that we've not met in the actual building. But that's pretty interesting that that's happened over now. And I think, you know, I'm not going to preach on this, but I thought, well, that's a perfect time to emphasize again the truth that we at times do emphasize, that the church is not the building. The church is not the building. No, it's the people who know the Lord Jesus. We know that the Greek word translated church in our English New Testament means the called out ones. We've been called out from those who don't know the Lord, and we've been called out to the Lord Jesus. And we have a relationship with Him, and we're a part of the church in that sense. So oftentimes the building is referred to as the church, but that's one of the reasons that we're the Shannon Hills Bible Chapel, because so oftentimes the building is what's associated with the name of the local meeting. And so that's the chapel. We're here in the gym. You know, our son Jordan, he and his wife Ashley, and also our son Joseph, our daughter Anna, when they're at school, they fellowship in a local assembly in Apex, Western Wake Bible Chapel. They meet in an office building. And then, you know, on Monday nights during the spring and the fall, our son Jordan plays in a basketball league, and they play in the meeting location of a local church there in Cary, and that is two full-court basketball courts, and then they transform that. They got a platform up there, kind of like this, but more permanent, and that's where they meet every Sunday. So it's not the building. It's not the building, but rather it's as we come together, focusing on the Lord, desiring to hear from Him, wherever the location may be, inside, outside, in a chapel building, or in a gymnasium. We're thankful that the Word of God does not change, and our purpose does not change, and we thank the Lord for that. So thank you for that. Give me that opportunity for a little intro there. And now I'll ask you to turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, if you have your Bible with you. We've been doing a study on the book of Luke, and we've seen that Luke, his focus in presenting the Lord Jesus, of course, the four gospel accounts all present the Lord Jesus as, in reality, the whole Bible does, Old Testament and New Testament. It all focuses on Him, but these four gospel accounts focus on His earthly life. And Luke, as he does that, he emphasizes the Lord Jesus particularly as the perfect human being. And we've been working our way through, and now we're at the very end of chapter 9. But as we start this morning, I want you to go to verse 23 again. We keep going back to verse 23 because it seems that verse 23 is really a hinge for this particular section of the book of Luke. Everything seems to turn on Luke 9:23 here in this section. Notice again there the words of the Lord Jesus. Then He, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, said to them all. It's interesting, you may notice in your Bible, if you have a King James or a New King James, or maybe even another translation, the word them is in italics. So it's been added by the translators to help us to understand what is being said, and that's very accurate. But isn't it interesting to listen to it without that added word? Then He said to all. You know, that brings a little closer home, doesn't it? Not just to those who were gathered there that day 2,000 years ago, but in a sense, he says this to everyone. He says it to us gathered in this room this morning. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The Lord Jesus could make that kind of claim because of who he is. He is the perfect human. The only way that a human could be perfect was that they would be something beyond human. Because we know that born of Adam and Eve, we are born with a sinful nature. The Lord speaks here of desiring to come after him, but we're born with a desire not to come after him, but we're born with a desire to come after ourselves, to do what we want to do, to go our own way. The Bible makes that very clear. We see it with the first human beings, and we see it all the way through the Word of God, and we see it all through the history of humanity. We see it in our homes. We see it in our neighborhoods. We see it in our business places. We see it in the marketplace. We see it in our nation. We see it in the world. We all desire to go our own way. That's the way we come into the world. But the Lord Jesus didn't come in that way. We've already seen back in the book, back in chapters 1 and 2, the Lord Jesus came born of a virgin. He came not through the line of Adam, but the Holy Spirit of God had come upon the virgin Mary. And in a miraculous conception, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, without beginning, had that human earthly beginning in the womb of the virgin. And born without sin, he lived without sin. And he died without sin of his own. But he died with all the sins of the world placed on him. He died with your sins on him. He was your substitute, my substitute, the substitute for every human being. And then he rose again. And I'm getting a little ahead of the story, aren't I? That's not a spoiler, by the way, if you hadn't read the end of Luke. The Lord Jesus rises from the dead, okay? I'm going to go ahead and tell you in case you didn't know how it ended. Well, that wasn't actually the end, just the end of the book. End of the Gospel of Luke. The Lord Jesus, the perfect human being, God in human flesh. And he said to them all, if anyone will come after me. So he says it to you this morning. If you will come after him. The Lord Jesus is speaking to you by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God this morning. No matter who you are, from where you are, how old you are, where you're going when you leave this building, it doesn't matter. The Lord Jesus is saying to you, if you will come after me. We come to the Lord Jesus empty-handed. We come by faith, for it's by grace through faith that we're saved. It's not of works so that no one can boast. It's the gift of God. We come to the Lord Jesus and we recognize ourselves as sinners and we recognize him as sinless, as our substitute, as our Savior, as the one who rose again, as the one who will give us eternal life if we receive him, believing on him alone. And when we do that, we're brought into his family and we're a new creation. And he wants us to follow him. He wants us to come after him. He wants you and me to come after him. And he's very serious about that. And if you don't think he's serious about it, and you don't think it's a serious thing, then look back at what he says, and we've already studied in verse 23. If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him not live for himself. Let her not live for herself. But rather let us as individuals take up our cross daily. That reminder that it's not about us. That no, I'm dead. I'm dead to myself. I'm alive in Christ. And do what? Follow him. Follow Him. The question this morning is this. Are you willing to follow Him? Are you willing to follow Him? This morning we're going to read about three individuals who came face to face with the Lord Jesus. And as they came face to face with the Lord Jesus, they came face to face with the question with which we're coming face to face this morning. Are you willing to follow me? Are you convicted in your heart this morning and in your mind? Are you convicted that it is God's will for you to follow the Lord Jesus? To deny yourself and take up your cross daily and to follow Him. Now, I mean follow Him in the scriptural sense, in the true sense of that command of the Lord. Do you hear His command to you this morning? Do you hear Him saying to you, follow me? Because that's what He's saying. Are you willing to follow Him? And as we look at this record of three individuals who were faced with this question, I think that their responses intercept us as we seek in our normal humanity, in our flesh, in our culture, as we seek to gain a little wiggle room in following the Lord Jesus. As we seek to be the ones who set the parameters of following the Lord Jesus in a manner that is comfortable to us and to many Christians around us. Each of these three interactions between the Lord Jesus and what I'm going to call would-be disciples. These are would-be disciples. These are people who potentially are going to be the disciple, follower of the Lord Jesus. Again, this is not how we come to the Lord Jesus for salvation. It's a gift. He offers Himself freely. We don't earn salvation by denying ourselves. We don't earn salvation by taking up our crosses. We don't earn salvation by following Him. No, these things are a natural, or should I say a supernatural response to knowing the Lord Jesus as Savior. And each of us, I think, will see this morning that the revelation the Lord Jesus gives here and Luke presents to us in these interactions, we see that being willing to follow the Lord Jesus means a more specific willingness than we may have realized. And I want to start out by saying He is worthy of our following Him. He is worthy. This morning I don't have a PowerPoint. We don't have the capability in here to put the outline up on the screen, okay, or up on the backboard. So here's the very simple outline. I'm going to make it so easy for me and for you to remember the outline this morning, okay? You see, being willing to follow the Lord Jesus means a willingness to follow Him, number one, wherever, say that with me, wherever. Number two, whenever, say that with me, whenever, whenever, and being willing to follow Him. Number three, whoever, say that with me, whoever, wherever, whenever, whoever. You got it? It's nice and warm in here. Now you can go to sleep. And when you wake up, you can say, thank you for that message. Wherever, whenever, whoever, I have it. Okay. And if you'll remember that, I'll trust that the Lord will bring back to your minds the things He would have you to remember about those three points. Here we go, verse 57. We're going to begin by reading 57 and 58. This is our first point. Wherever, being willing to follow the Lord Jesus means being willing to follow Him wherever. Verse 57, Luke 9. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to Him, Lord, I will follow You wherever You go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. So we see the Lord Jesus and his followers, these 12 that he had chosen to be particularly close to him, that he was training. But there were others who were following him too. There were other followers. Some were heartfelt, sincere followers. Others were just wondering about him. Others were just curious. Some were hoping he's going to perform a miracle and they were going to see it or maybe even be the beneficiary of it. But they're journeying possibly between villages, and we see the Lord Jesus is approached by a would-be disciple, and this would-be disciple declares to the Lord Jesus that he would follow him. In fact, he not only said that he would follow him, but he would follow him wherever he went. Now, I would suggest that this is a very commendable, and as we've already said, a very appropriate goal for the heart of the true believer in the Lord Jesus. The one who's truly been forgiven of his or her sins and has understood who the Lord Jesus is. He is Lord. You're going to notice that in all of these interactions. The title Lord, the Master, the one who's in control, the boss, the CEO. He's Lord. But the response of the Lord Jesus, I find to be a very unexpected reply. If you went out today and people who didn't know this story and you told them, you read to them verse 57 and say, what do you think that the Lord Jesus is going to say? I don't think anybody would come up with his response. But how did he respond? He said to this man who was said he was willing to follow him anywhere, he said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests. The animals have a regular dwelling place. But the Son of Man, his favorite title for himself, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He said to this would-be disciple, I just want you to know that the one you are committing to follow wherever is, in essence, homeless. Now, technically, a homeless person is a person without a regular dwelling. Now, we think of that word today, and we think of people who are homeless due to a circumstance beyond their control. But the Lord Jesus purposefully chose to be without a regular dwelling during this part of his life so that he could fulfill the will of his Father for him. Now, we've already seen that the Lord Jesus not only hears the question of that man, or not the question, but he not only hears the declaration of that man, but he also looks in the heart of that man. We've seen that in the book of Luke, and it's good to be reminded of that, isn't it? When we make claims to the Lord or about the Lord, about ourselves regarding the Lord, it's good to know the Lord Jesus, he not only hears what we're saying, he looks in our heart and what's really there. And he was looking in the heart of this man. And he says, in essence, to this man, do you really understand what you're signing up for? You need to count the cost. Are you sure you are willing to follow me wherever? What if following me, the Lord Jesus says, what if following me means it's going to cost you your home? What if it's going to cost you your comfort? How about your convenience? What if it would cost you your job? What if it would cost you your free time? Would you still be willing to follow me? You see, if we're going to come after the Lord Jesus, he says we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow him. You know, there are people around the world today as we gather here, and praise the Lord, we're in a warm building and we're sitting on comfortable seats. There are many people in the world today who follow the Lord Jesus, and it means being uncomfortable. It means being persecuted. It means losing their job. It means being kicked out of their home. It means all of those things, and that day may come here. That day may come to our shores. But even if it doesn't come here, the call of the Lord Jesus is the same. Do you really understand what you're claiming? And he wants us to understand it because he wants us to follow him. He wants us to understand that wherever may take us to a place or a situation or a condition or the necessity to make a decision that is uncomfortable and challenging. So as we say, I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus says, understand what you're signing up for. We have what some people say in our nation, first world problems. We get frustrated because the light in the refrigerator is not working. Or our earphones get tangled up. Those are problems, right? Well, they're problems in our culture. They're real problems. But you know what? It makes me think, what is there in my life that I cannot do without? What is there in my life that if it came down to honestly, sincerely, biblically following the Lord Jesus, and whatever this other thing is, what would I choose? Is there a point where I'm not willing to let go? I'm not willing to give up. I'm not willing to follow the Lord Jesus if it means the possibility of going a certain place. Sometimes you hear it said in a conversation, don't go there. Don't go there. And sometimes our flesh says, don't go there. Don't go there. If the Lord Jesus wants to call you to that, don't go there. That's what the flesh says. But the Lord Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. And you see, he says, I'll take care of you. You can trust me. You can trust me. And yes, he may lead us to be in a place where we don't have what we consider necessities. He may call you. He may call me. He may call us to go to another culture at some point where we don't have those necessities. He may allow things to happen in this nation where we don't have the things that we consider necessities today. He may call us to move to a different neighborhood or setting. He may call us to the place where he says, I don't want you to move, but I want you to give up something else to follow me. Following him means a willingness to forego anything that he calls us from. In other words, we look through the epistles. Some might say, well, this is talking about the time when the Lord Jesus was on the earth. That was different. The Holy Spirit had not come to indwell the believers. But we can look through the epistles and we can see in almost every epistle instructions about how to deal with hardship and suffering and persecution. You see, the Lord Jesus did not intend the life of following him to be a bed of roses or a life of ease or an assurance of prosperity. There are people preaching this morning at the very moment I'm preaching, and their message is, if you will follow the Lord Jesus, then you'll have all these material blessings. You won't know what to do with them. You'll have everything will be good. You won't get sick. And you'll have plenty of money and you won't owe anything. That message is going out this morning and people are claiming to get that message out of the Word of God. That's not what the Lord Jesus teaches us. And that's not what we teach here because that's not what the Bible teaches. The Lord may give you great material blessing, but he may not. And whether he gives it to you or not, he says, are you willing to follow me? There's a commercial, I think it's Nike maybe. Somebody here will correct me. I think it's Derek Rose, isn't it? I'm sorry, I didn't research this. I just came to my mind. I was thinking about it. And he goes up and he's playing basketball. He says, take away the money. Take away the fame. Take away whatever. And what do you have left? You still have the game. And he was saying that's what it's all about for him, playing basketball. What about for us who know the Lord? Could the Lord take it all away, take away our house and take away our ease and take away our comfort and take away our freedoms? Could he allow all of that to happen? And would we say, I've still got the Lord. I'm still following him. Are you willing to follow Him there? Are you willing to follow Him wherever? Are you willing to lay it all down and say, whatever the Lord wants me to do, wherever He wants me to go, I am ready? Well, I might not be ready, but I'm willing to go. I'm willing to follow Him. In the honesty of my heart, can I say that? The principle to go wherever and forego whatever in order to follow Him. Are we willing to go wherever and forego whatever in order to follow Him? Wherever. Somebody tell me the second word. Whenever. Yes, some people were listening. All right. Whenever. Let's go to verse 59. Here's the Lord Jesus speaking again. We're not sure. It probably was on the same trip, not necessarily. Then He said to another, follow Me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Now, in this situation, the Lord Jesus initiates the conversation. He says directly to this person, follow Me. Follow Me. Two very simple two very life-shaking words when they come from Him. Follow Me. The would-be disciple, he responded by saying, let me first go and bury my father. Now, we don't know what the situation was. We do know that in the first century Jewish custom was to bury the body the same day the person died, if that was possible. They didn't do embalming, and still Jewish funerals are normally done very quickly, even today. And they would try to bury them then. So I really don't think that this man was saying, well, my father died this morning, and we're going to have the funeral this afternoon. Could you give me 3 hours, and I'll be here? I don't think that was what was happening. I think what was happening was that the man's father was alive, and the son, commendably so, wanted to wait and take care of his father's burial when he did die. Now, I think it's commendable to wanting to do that, to fulfill that responsibility to his father. But in essence, he was saying, yes, I will follow you, but not just yet. Not right now. I'm willing to go, but I want to be in control of the schedule. I want to be in control. Here's my day timer. You see, this tells me what I'm going to do tomorrow and the next day. It tells me what I did yesterday. If you find this, please return it to me. I need this, okay? But it's like he was saying, Lord, I got my day timer here and already got, you know, the next couple weeks planned out. But hey, after that, we're going to go. I'm ready to go. He was willing to go, but he wanted to set his own time schedule. First, he said, first let me go. He had something that took priority over obedience to the command of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus said, follow me. And he said, first, let me do this, and then I'll follow you. Well, how did the Lord Jesus respond? He responded with two phrases. One, he said, let the dead bury their own dead. Secondly, and this is where I want to focus, okay? You're going to say, Mark Shelley skipped over that hard part, okay, about the dead burying their own dead. But here's the focus of his comment. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. Did you notice the man said, first let me go and bury. And the Lord said, no, first you go and preach. Okay? The man wanted to go this way. The Lord Jesus said, no, you need to go this way. That was the focus. You see, the Lord Jesus, as Lord, has plans for each of those who have trusted Him as Savior and have been made new creations. We've often heard it said, He didn't save us just to take us to heaven, or we would already be there. He's left us here for purposes. There are some overarching purposes that encompass every believer. And then there are some individual purposes that He has for you and you and you and you and you and you and each one who knows the Lord Jesus as Savior. So I ask you this morning, do you know what He is commanding you to do? Do you know His commands in His Word for you? That comes obviously by being exposed to the Word of God. There are commands that He gives to every believer. We're to know those commands, and we're to obey them. We're not saved by works, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, but we're saved unto works, Ephesians 2, 10. Works, we read there in Ephesians 2, 10, that He has already planned in advance for us to do. He's got things He wants you to do. And He's saying, follow Me. And you go first and do what I've told you to do. Can I ask you this morning, as I ask myself, have any of us been hesitating? Have we been hesitating? God has told us to do something, and we've been hesitating. Or maybe we've been procrastinating. I'm going to get to that. The Lord has burdened my heart about it, and I have plans to get that. But first let me go and you fill in the blank. Doesn't have to be bury somebody. Put anything in that blank. Maybe in all honesty, some of us would say, I know the commands of the Lord, but I've not just been hesitating or procrastinating. I've been ignoring them. I haven't been denying myself. No, I've been doing what myself chooses to do. I'm in control of my planner. Can I ask you what you're waiting for? Maybe it seems like a legitimate reason. I can't imagine that this man ever thought he was going to get the response that he got from the Lord Jesus. I'm sure he thought, hey, you know, He's going to understand. He wants me to do the responsible thing for my Father. The Lord Jesus said, you go. You go and preach. Preach the kingdom of God. You know, it's interesting that all of us who know the Lord Jesus, we're all to go and preach, aren't we? This word for preach here really means to announce. Here's a couple of different translations in different Bibles, literal translations. Announce, publish, proclaim, spread the news. All of us who know the Lord Jesus have been called to do that. We're just looking at one thing. And we're to preach, we're to share the gospel. And He's already called those of us who know the Lord Jesus as Savior. He's already called us to follow Him and to share the gospel. Now maybe He's calling you to do that in a specific way that may be different from someone else. Maybe through a particular ministry or in a certain manner. You know, most of us in here have applied at one time or another for a job. And on most job applications, there's a place that says available start date. Available start date. Now, sometimes you have a job and you say, okay, I've got to give a 2 weeks notice. You did hear about the 2 weeks notice, right? The guy went to give a 2 weeks notice and or the guy went to tell his boss he had another job, and he said, well, you need to give me a 2 weeks notice. And he said, okay, in 2 weeks you're going to notice that I hadn't been here for 2 weeks. All right, that's definitely off the subject. I had to wake you up in case you were asleep. Available start date. What's your available start date to follow the Lord? And that's not to answer to me. That's for you to answer to the Lord. What's your available start date for what He's telling you to do? When are you available? Is it, well, first let me go and do this, and then I'm ready, Lord? You've heard the saying, delayed obedience is disobedience. And you might say, well, I've already blown it then because, you know, I've delayed. the Lord has directed me, and I've not done it. I've been disobedient. I put it off. I've said I'm going to get to that. I've had all kind of reasons of things I needed to do first, and now I'm realizing I shouldn't have done that, so I guess it's too late for me. No, it's never too late to follow the Lord. It's never too late to follow the Lord. You see, the Lord is gracious and merciful and full of compassion. If He wasn't, none of us would even be alive today, but He is. And He says, you know, you may have blown it many times before. And you may have missed a lot of opportunities I provided. But the question is, what are you going to do today? Whenever. Whenever He calls, am I ready to follow? Here's the principle. Immediately respond whenever. Immediately respond whenever He calls you. Whatever the cost, whatever you have to give up, no matter how important the thing is that you feel like you need to do, be willing to respond immediately, whenever, whatever the cost. One last word. Anybody remember the last word? Whoever. Wherever. Whenever. And finally, whoever, verses 61 and 62. And another also said, Lord, I will follow You, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. We find here another would-be disciple. And he goes to the Lord Jesus and he makes that statement, Lord, I will follow You. And I don't question the sincerity of what he's saying. You know, he said, I will follow You, but he kind of reminds us of the second fellow that we consider. He's got a first in there. Well, let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. So it seems a little bit like maybe he has a control issue when it comes to timing. Something like would-be disciple number two. He's got a priority issue here. But I want us to notice the focus of his excuse for delaying following the Lord involves relationships. Them who are at my house. Now, who was at his house? Probably his family. Probably his close friends. I don't know his situation. I don't know how old he was. I don't know if he was married. I don't know if he had children. I don't know any of those things. All I know is that the relationships that he had were the cause of the excuse he was giving to the Lord Jesus and saying, I've got to go do this first. Now, relationships are normal. Relationships, well, some relationships aren't normal. Some relationships are abnormal. And I was going to say some and relationships are healthy. It's healthy to have healthy relationships. We should have relationships. God has designed us for relationship with Him that we can only have through the Lord Jesus. And also relationships with other people. And I want to encourage family relationships. They're very important. They should be nurtured. They should be appreciated. But notice the response of the Lord Jesus. He doesn't speak directly to the relationship issue, but he says, if a laborer puts his hand to the plow to work and then he looks back, then that laborer is not fit for the kingdom of God. These are strong words, the Lord Jesus is saying. In essence, so let me, as we come to the end here, let me encapsulate it like this. No human relationship should ever stand between the believer in the Lord Jesus and what the Lord Jesus commands him or her to do. No relationship should ever be more important to the believer than the relationship between the believer and his or her Savior and Lord. That can be challenging at times. That has been challenging at times for me in my life, and I've had to examine my life at times. Our relationships are valuable. They're given by God. Sometimes the Lord may lead us to leave some of them behind. For instance, a child grows up and becomes an adult and believes the Lord is leading him or her somewhere else. And the parents have to be willing to let go. And the child has to be willing to say, God is leading me to follow the Lord Jesus and to follow Him. I've got to go. That happens sometimes. But that's not the focus here, I don't think. Because I know that the Lord will lead every one of us into situations where a human relationship could cause us to stop following the Lord Jesus, or to slow down, or to get sidetracked, or to be hindered, or to mess up, or to warp the pathway on a work that He's leading us to do. We'll see later in Luke where the Lord Jesus said, if you don't hate your family, you're not worthy of Me. And we'll talk about that more when we get there. But I would very quickly say what He's saying is, if your love for your family in comparison to your love for Me isn't hate. In other words, if you don't love Me first, if you don't love Me most, if you don't put Me at the center, if you're not following Me, then you're not walking in accordance with My desire for you. You know, the most wonderful thing happens when, particularly if we're married, that spouse is beside us. They're not back there behind us. There's no question. And I'm not ever saying you should leave your spouse, okay? I'm not saying, well, the Lord called me. I would come and tell you bye, but He called me and said I couldn't do that. That's not what He's saying. We have responsibilities in our relationships. And maybe you're sitting here as a wife this morning. If you are, then biblically speaking, you have a leader in your family. It's your husband. And as the Lord leads your husband, you can be right there beside him and should be. And maybe your husband's got this what you call a wild hair. And he's saying, God wants us to do this. And you're thinking, man, you are crazy. You're crazy, buddy. And if mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So make your choice, buddy. Don't do that to your husband. Don't do that to your husband. You be right there arm in arm, praying for him and saying, honey, or whatever you call him, honey, the Lord leads you. I'm with you. Let's pray. Let's pray about it together. I want to make sure we're following the Lord, but I'm ready to go. And I'm not looking back. I'm heading forward. Don't forget the most infamous backward look in the Bible. You know what it is. Most of you know what it is. The most infamous backward look in the Bible. Luke's going to mention it, or the Lord Jesus is going to mention it later in Luke 17, verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife in Genesis 19. She looked back. That was the end of her life, and she was turned immediately into a pillar of salt. So here's our principle. Resist the urge to look back, no matter who is behind you. You can continue faithfully according to Scripture in the relationships in which God has allowed you to be, and yet continue to follow the Lord Jesus to the extent that that is possible in that relationship. You're like a runner in a race. Don't look back. So are you willing to follow the Lord Jesus wherever? I want to encourage you this morning to be willing to go wherever and forgo whatever in order to follow Him. Are you willing to follow the Lord Jesus whenever? Be willing to immediately respond whenever, whatever the cost. And are you willing to follow the Lord Jesus whoever may be behind you? Are you willing to resist the urge to look back, no matter who is back there? I don't know what our brother has chosen. Can you play, I've decided to follow Jesus? That's what you're going to play anyway. That's great. That's great. He's going to play that. Come on up, David, because the time's gone, and I'm going to pray. But can I ask you, as I pray and as he plays, just listen and think about the words of this song. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. Okay, let's pray, and then you meditate as he plays through it. Lord, we thank you so much for this morning, our time together in your word. Thank you for your son, the Lord Jesus. Challenge our hearts, and we seek to follow him in his name. Amen.